Today we continue with lesson number 29 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Shavuos. Today we will study the last Mishnah of the 7th Perek, and we will begin the 8th and last Perek of Shavuos. Perek Zayin Mishnah Ches and Perek Ches Mishnah Aleph. We've by now learnt many times that min haTorah, it is the nitba, the person who against whom the claim is being made, the person from whom the toveya, the plaintiff, is trying to collect, who has to, under the circumstances of modeh b'miktzas, render a shvua, make a shvua. Now this is only true if the toveya, the person making the claim, expresses what's known as a ta'anas vadai. He says, you owe me $100. He knows that this is true. Well, he feels that this is true, and he's accusing the nitba of lying or evading him, etc. But if the toveya's claim is a ta'anas sofik, he says, you know, I think that you might owe me $100. That's not enough to extract a shavua from the nitba, min haTorah. However, the Chachomim made a takona in certain situations that a ta'ana sofek by the toveya also requires a shavua by the nitba. And that is in a situation, for example, where a person is in partnership with another, and one partner suspects the other of stealing some of the mutually owned goods, or perhaps not being precise in his cheshbonos, in the way he keeps his records, etc. So one partner says to the other, you know, I think that you are wrong and you owe me $100. Then, mitrabbonon, the rabbonon made a takona that the nitba, the partner who's being accused or suspected, does have to swear that he does not owe the claim. So our Mishnah gives a list of the relationships in which a tana sofek, a claim based on a suspicion, not on definite knowledge, requires a shvua from the nitba. V'elu nishbo'im shelo b'ta'ano. The following have to swear, even though there is no certain ta'ana. The toveya is not claiming. Ta'ana means a claim. There is no claim being made which is being made on the basis of certitude, but only a ta'ana sofek, a claim which is made on the basis of a suspicion. Hashutofim, partners. One partner can say to the other, you know, I think that you owe me $100. Viho arisin. An oris is a person who's a tenant farmer. The toveya, in this case, owns a farm, and he gave it over to the oris, to the worker, the tenant farmer, to work the land, to till the soil, in return for a percentage of the produce, half, third, or fourth, whatever the agreement is. So in such a case, the owner of the land can say to the oris, to the worker on the land, you know, I think that you didn't give me the proper percentage of what you owe me. You owe me a third of the produce. I think you only gave me a quarter of the produce. And he can extract a shvua, an oath, from the oris, from the tenant farmer. Viho apotropin. And similarly, if a person is appointed as a supervisor on another person's nechosim, person hires an agent, a managing director for his business, and he's thinking that maybe the managing director is not telling him the full extent of the profits. Sometimes the court, the Beis Din, will appoint a supervisor, an agent, to direct and to manage the property of orphans, for example. In these cases, the apotropos, the guardian, the manager, is the kind of person is in a role where if someone suspects him of not doing his apotropsus, of not doing his supervisory work properly, they can ask him to swear. V'ho'isho hanoseis v'hanosenes b'soch habayis. Similarly, a woman, a wife, whose husband asks her to manage the family business or the family's financial affairs or whatever. So she is, in effect, an apotropa, a supervisor, a manager. Her husband, if he suspects that she's keeping money from him, not conducting business properly, he can extract a shvua from her that she has indeed done everything that's proper. Uven habayis. Similarly, if a father dies, leaving several sons and leaving an estate, and one son handles the estate, so to speak, the other brothers suspect that maybe he's keeping something for himself more than his share, they can have him swear. They can obligate him to make a shvua that he did not take anything that's not his due. The reason why the Chachamim made these takonos is because people in these roles, partners, arisim, apitropsim, a woman in charge of the family business, a son managing the estate for the other children, they are mora heter liatzmo. They are people who might very well feel, look, I'm working so hard, I might as well keep something for myself. And they feel that they deserve it, and they kind of rationalize and justify this. Therefore, the Chachamim said, to avoid that, we require a shvua from them that they indeed did act in accordance with what is fair and honest. Now, the Mishnah goes on to give the scenario. Omar lo, if one of these people mentioned above, the partner who's being accused, the oris on the farm, the woman who's managing the family business, etc., says to the toveya, to the person making the claim, Mo ato to aneni, what do you want from me? And the toveya says, Ritzoni shetishov ali, I want you to swear to me that you haven't kept anything that rightfully belongs to me from the partnership or the family business or the estate or whatever. Chayov, that person is obligated to swear that he indeed is not keeping anything that is not his due. However, once cholku hashutofim v'ho arisin, suppose the partnership is dissolved, or the oris is a relationship, the contract for the oris to work the farmer's land for him is over, and he's no longer an oris. From that point on, the same thing would be true with all the other cases. The woman is no longer the manager of the business. The apotropos is no longer the managing director for the orphans or whatever. From that point on, after the chalukah, after the relationship is dissolved, ein yachol lahashpio. From that point on, the toveya cannot extract a shvua, cannot obligate a shvua from the nitba, on the basis of a suspicion. I think maybe you may have taken something that's not yours. However, suppose after the chalukah, after the partnership, for example, is long dissolved, 2-3 years later, nisgalgalo lo shvua mimokom acher, the toveya has another claim against the nitba. Let's say, for example, 2 or 3 years after the partnership is dissolved, one of the partners comes to the other and says, besides the fact that I think that way back years ago when we were partners, you kept some money for yourself that wasn't rightfully yours, now he's making a new claim based on something which had nothing to do with the partnership. Subsequent to the partnership, I lent you $1,000. Where is it? And let's say the nitpa shutof, the shutof who's being who's being asked to fork up the $1,000, says, I only owe you 200, not 1,000. So he's a modeh b'miktzas, and he has to swear on the additional 800. Once he is swearing already, nisgalgala lo shvua mimokom acher, once a shvua from someplace else, unrelated to the previous partnership, rolls in, so to speak, megalglin olav es hakol, then we roll out the shvua of the Takonas Chachomim, the Shvua of the Ta'ana Sofek, which the person, the Toveya, is now making on the basis of an old suspicion, which he couldn't make, couldn't obligate the Nitpa and the Shvua at this point because the partnership is already dissolved. But since the Nitpa is swearing anyway, a Shvua, let's say, for as an example of Modeh B'Miktzas, so we roll in the old Shvua, that he going back to the old partnership. This is the concept of Gilgul Shvua, that sometimes you roll in, so to speak, you add a Shvua which normally could not obligate the Nitpa in, because you do have a valid Shvua, a valid claim that would obligate him to make a Shvua now. So we roll in, so to speak, this old Shvua on the partnership, this Tana Sofeg, besides the fact that I think you owe me 1,000, and you're only confessing to 200, so you owe me a Shvua at least. So besides that, I also suspect that way back years ago, when we were partners, you also cheated me out of X number of dollars, so I want you to swear on that too, and you can do that because of the concept of Gilgul Shvua. Then the Mishnah closes with a statement which is unrelated to the previous discussion, and that is V'hashviyas, the year of Shemitah, the seventh sabbatical year, Mishametes es Hashvua, meaning, if the Toveya has a claim against the Nitpa, he says you owe me $1,000, and the Nitpa says I only owe you $200, so now the Nitpa is obligated to give a Shvuas Modeh B'Miktzas. And now, suppose this happened in the sixth year of the seven-year cycle, and for whatever reason, the Shvua was not given, he did not swear, and the seventh year comes along. The seventh year, just like it cancels debts, also cancels required oaths about debts. And therefore, the Shvius is Mishametes. The Shvius cancels not only the debt, but also the Shvua. And the Gemara learns this because the Pasuk says, V'zeh divar hashmita. That even dibur, even a speech, meaning even verbal statements such as oaths are connected to debts, are cancelled by shmita. So we have now completed the seventh perek. We move on, continuing in lesson number 29, to the beginning of the eighth and last perek. We are, in essence, now going back to an old topic which we discussed in detail in the fifth perek, and that is the topic of Shavuas HaPikodon. You will remember that if a Toveya has a claim against the Nitpa, you have something that belongs to me, I gave you my lawnmower, you never returned it, etc., then the Nitpa has to swear a Shvuas HaPikodon that he indeed returned it, or that he never borrowed it, or whatever. If he swears falsely, therefore he's swearing and lying, and in the process he's being kofer mamon, he's denying the Toveya money, a claim, a monetary claim, then, once it turns out that he confesses that he swore falsely, he has to bring a korban osham, and he has to, of course, pay back for the lawnmower, and if the lawnmower is worth $100, he has to pay a chomesh milibar, which means he has to pay him $125, plus the korban osham that he has to bring. Our perek now is going to explore this in more detail with reference to the four categories of shomrim, of guardians, of people who have been entrusted in one manner or another, an object belonging to another person. Before getting into the details, the Mishnah gives us the background and tells us about these four categories of shomrim, and distinguishes between these categories as to what each one's responsibilities really are. This Mishnah, which we're about to study now, is also a Mishnah in Meseches Bava Metzia, the eighth Mishnah of the seventh Perek in Bava Metzia. And this is a verbatim repeat of that Mishnah, which sometimes happens in the Mishnayos. The reason is because before we get into the details of Shavuos HaPikodo, which is our Meseches Shavuos' topic, not Bava Metzia's topic, we need to know the basic framework about the Shomrim. So the Mishnah says, Arbo'o Shomrim He. If you look in Pashas Mishpotim, you see that the psukim there speak of four different types of Shomrim. One is a Shomer Chinom. I have a golden goblet, and I'm going on a trip to Eretz Yisrael, and I need someone to watch my golden goblet, so I go over to you, you're my buddy, and I say, while I'm gone, please watch this golden goblet. I'm not paying you, you're not renting it or borrowing it from me, I am entrusting it to you, and paying you nothing, you're doing me a favor. That's a Shomer Chinom. V'hashoel, shoel means, if a person comes to me and borrows my lawnmower, and now he has the lawnmower, that's a shoel, he borrows from me. No se socher is a person who is paid for watching me. Suppose, back in the scenario of the golden goblet, I want someone to watch it. I'm going away on the trip to Eretz Yisrael. I'll be gone several weeks. So I come over to you and say, please watch my golden goblet. In exchange for that, I'm going to give you $10 a week for as long as I'm gone. That's a nosei socher, a paid guardian, a paid watchman. And finally, the fourth category is a socher. If someone comes to me for my lawnmower and says, doesn't ask me to borrow the lawnmower for free, but rather says, I'd like to have your lawnmower, I'll pay you $10 a week for use of the lawnmower. That is a socher. So these four categories have different levels of responsibility. As the Mishnah continues, Shomer Chinom Nishbo Al Hakol. A Shomer Chinom, a person who watches my golden goblet, as a favor to me, he's not getting paid at all. So he is, no matter what happens to the golden goblet, he doesn't have to pay me. He's doing me a favor, so if the golden goblet is stolen from him, or lost by somehow, or lightning strikes it, or highwaymen come and steal it, whatever happens to be, he's not responsible for that. So he's potter for Geneva Va'aveda. He's potter if the object is stolen or lost, and he's certainly potter from onsin if some accident happens to it. He's not potter from pshia if he carelessly leaves his golden goblet in the middle of the mall where anybody can take it, or if he himself keeps the golden goblet, or he himself breaks it somehow, then, of course, he's obligated. But other than pshia, other than real, true carelessness, he is exempt from everything. So, the Mishnah says, Shomer Chinom Nishbo Al Hakol, meaning, no matter what happened to the object, he can swear and say, it was stolen, it was lost, lightning came and struck it, highwaymen came and robbed it. Whatever he says is fine, because any one of those shvuos exempts him from paying, as long as the shvua is that he didn't do a peshia. He didn't do something which was really his fault. In that case, he's potur milishalim. He doesn't have to pay. This is based on the posuk in the parsha of Shomer Chinom, in Parshas Mishpotim, where the pasuk reads, "Ki yitein ish el reyehu kesef o kelim lishmor," etc. "V'gunav mi beis ho ish v'nikrav bal habayis el ho Elohim." All he has to do is swear that something, whatever it is, happened, and he's off the hook. He's potter b'gneva va'aveda, and certainly potter from onsen. I'm going to use these words again and again in this parak. Gneva va'aveda means it was stolen, not by a forced highwayman who came in, but rather listed mizuyon, but rather stolen. Someone broke into the house and stole it. right? And that's Geneva. Aveda means it got lost. And Onsen means some accident, unpredictable accident happened to it. Vahashoel mishalem es hakol. A shoel, if you borrow my lawnmower and it gets stolen, or you lose it, or some accident happens and the hurricane comes and sweeps the lawnmower away, in all of these situations, you have to pay. The shoel, the borrower, has to pay. As the Pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, v'chi yishal ishmeyim reyehu, if someone borrows something from his fellow, v'nishbar, and it gets broken, omeis, or it's he borrows not a lawnmower, but a donkey, and the donkey dies, shalem yishalem, the borrower has to pay. He certainly has to pay if the object, in our example, the lawnmower or the donkey or whatever, is stolen, or in the case of a donkey, strays and gets lost, or in the case of a lawnmower, gets lost somehow. The only situation in which the shoel is potur, the borrower is potur, if the borrower, for example, if he borrows a donkey, and he puts a donkey to work in its usual work, doing what donkeys do, carrying a burden, and the donkey dies because the burden proves to be too heavy, although it was not a particularly heavy burden. So it's what's called mesa machmas melocha. The animal died in the course of normal work. Then, and only then, would the borrower be potter. In the case of the lawnmower, for example, if the person's mowing his lawn in actual, natural, usual, and customary way, and in the process of doing that, somehow the lawnmower breaks in the middle of its usual work, only then would a shoel be potur. But in all other cases, ha-shoel mishalem es hakol. No se socher v'ha-socher, the person who's a paid watchman, and the socher, the person who pays me to use my lawnmower, they have the same din, namely, nishboin, they swear, al hashavura v'al hashavuya v'al hamesa. They swear with reference to whether whatever they're watching, either being paid to watch it or renting, was broken, became broken, or was captured by an army, or it just died, then they would be exempt from payment. Then they would be exempt from payment because all of these things are accidents. It died because of no reason. The accident there is the angel of death, presuming the angel of death kills animals. Or it just got broken from some accident. Then they would be exempt. However, if it was stolen from them in a way that they should have been more careful and left the window closed, or even not so, even in that, if that's not the case, if it was stolen from them through a thief, or if it was lost by them, then not through no fault of their own, then they would be chayef. They're only potter for onsen. Umishalman, as the Mishnah concludes, eso avedo v'es hakaneva. They can swear about various onsen, various accidents, and be off the hook, but they cannot swear about Aveda and Geneva because they have to pay. Suppose he swears that it was lost. Too bad, buddy. You know, I'm paying you to watch the darn thing. You're responsible. Does that get lost? Or Geneva if it's stolen. As the Pasuk says, again in Parshas Mishpatim, v'im gonovi gonev me'imo yishalem libo'olov, and the Gemara learns Aveda from Geneva. We have now finished Mishnah Aleph of Perek Ches, and in the process have completed lesson number 29.